This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello and welcome to Lit Crit Chick. I am your host, Quinny, and today we are going to be talking about a very exciting film with a very special guest. This text has impacted many people's hearts. It has won Academy Awards. It has won SAG Awards, BAFTAs, all of the awards. It is a favorite critically, but also commercially, grossing billions of dollars, a lot of money. It's very successful. It's everything, everywhere, all at once. To describe everything everywhere all at once is very hard, as it breaks genre, it breaks storyline, it breaks character tropes and character stereotypes that we have seen long and favoured. Directed by the Daniels, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schmidt, and written by them as well. Starring Michelle Yeoh, Stephanie Hsu, Ka Hui Chuan, James Huang and Jamie Lee Curtis. It is a comedy, an action, a martial arts drama, a touching of the heart, an existential pulling of the brain. It is everything everywhere all at once. Welcome to the show, Maddie Weeks.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
Thank you. Woo. I feel like that intro was about as chaotic and rapid as the movie that we're about to talk about.
Absolutely. You did a really good job, because whenever I try to describe it to anyone, I'm like, it's just the best film ever made about taxes. I don't know.
Well, yes, exactly. Exactly. It's really the taxes, isn't it?
That drives home the
heart of the story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, there is a that there's the shot where it goes into part one, everything, and it's her sitting at the table doing her taxes with like her dad next to her. Mm-hmm. And it really is a pretty bleak image that they're trying to like give, but it's also like really wholesome by the end. Like by the end you're like, can we go back to the table with the dad, please?
Yeah, I just want the laundry and taxes. It's such a good metaphor for life, and because it literally, that is what life is, but it is also so complicated and so chaotic and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but oh my god, I could talk about this for hours, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, you've got one, so we have to what keep the heck? It brief.
All right, we better get into it then. Oh my goodness.
So what drew you to this movie? Was it kind of through social media? Were you sort of an early cinema watcher or a streaming viewer? How did you get into it? When did you see it?
I saw it in the cinemas. My friends watched it and then they said to me, Maddie, I think we just saw the movie that will become your favorite movie of all time.
Really?
If it's so you're going to love it. And I didn't know much about it. I hadn't seen any of the Daniels' work before, unfortunately. So I looked it up and I was like, at that point in time on IMDb, it said a lady does her taxes as the description. And I was like, that sounds really boring. Like, are they trying to like,
what do you mean, friends? Yeah, this is going to be perfect
I'm
for
like,
me?
Is this like, are you trying to encourage me to do my taxes? Because at that point I was behind on mine.
Real,
I was like,
real.
Okay, I get the point. I'll come along anyway. So we went to Cinema Nova. I love that cinema.
I saw it at Cinema Nova.
Oh my god,
too.
Twins! Wow, great place to see any film.
Great, yeah, shout out.
Shout out. Free promo.
The small, very unknown cinema.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this. It's on it. Like, it's an indie cinema on Lygon Street. Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah, I went there and I had no idea what I was getting in for. Mm. Like, I went in, I was kind of tired. I was like, okay, let's watch this film about taxes.
And bagels.
And bagels.
Well.
And then as it started, I was like, this is weird. And as I kept going, I was like, yeah, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so chaotic. It's like a multiverse film. There's so much humor, incredible comedy, but also it's so deeply depressing and sad. I just loved it. And as soon as we got out of the cinema, I was like, it's on again in like an hour. And I just saw it again. Because I was just like,
no
I need
way.
To see it again immediately.
Really?
Yeah. And then I went back to the cinema three more times. I saw it five times.
What was like drawing you back? What was sort of like the thought in your head?
I think it was the chaos. I think it was the blend of, there's a lot of joy and I was just like, there was so much happening that I didn't pick up on the first watch. I was like, I just feel like there was so much in that I need to watch it again. And then I was like, I need to watch it again. I kind of got addicted to the way it made me feel. I think it's like an ADHD thing, right? It's such a perfect ADHD film because there's so much going on at the one time.
I get it every time I watched it. I watched it like, I was actually just watching it this morning, like as I was getting ready and stuff.
Same, yeah.
Just to kind of get it. And every time there's something else I pick up. It's almost actually every time a different story. I'm like, this is, I'm getting such different, because yeah, you can really kind of go down, especially if you're kind of relating to it. I find that like, it's like, oh, I'm relating to these joyous moments at this time, or this rewatch, I'm relating to these sad moments or whatever. And it's like, different.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. It's like, what's that quote about music? It's like, when you're in a good mood, you're, you know, listening to the music and the instruments, but when you're sad, it's all about the lyrics.
Yeah, right.
And I translate that into a film metaphor, I guess. But
that's why when I'm sad, I listen to Karma Chameleon by Paul George. Because, you know, the lyrics just speak to me.
Karma,
okay, we don't have the rats.
Karma, comedian. Okay. Here I am.
Well, speaking of you and comedy, this kind of moves me on to my next question. As well as sort of talking about the darker stuff. Now, if you don't mind me revealing, you are a queer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, we are on a queer radio station.
What? Oh, that's what explains all the rainbows. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm the Dolly Parton.
Life-size
Dolly Parton cutout, which we are not joking about, listeners at home. There truly is.
It's amazing.
But, like, obviously, Stephanie Hsu plays a queer character. Mm. And, like, Jojo... Oh, what's the character's name? Jojo...
Oh. Joy.
Joy. But the when she's like evil.
Oh my god.
Jobu,
look it up. Pause. Yeah. I can't remember.
Jobu Tupaki.
That's it.
Yes. So Stephanie Hsu obviously plays Joy and Jobu Tupaki, who Joy is obviously a queer character, and I think Jobu Tupaki is like almost a like extension of queerness. Like I found was especially with like the outfits and like the whole attitude, it was very like queer superhero kind of vibe, supervillain.
So awesome.
And yeah, I just want to talk about how did you respond to that character? And like, did you have similar reaction to me where you were like, kind of, even though this is a kind of anti-hero villain already, kind of wanting to see what happened next when that character came on?
Oh yeah, it was so powerful. And I think I didn't know there was going to be any sort of queer storyline in this film. And seeing that play out, it was so, oh my God, it was so emotional. But seeing like this awesome queer supervillain that's going to destroy the world and put everything on a bagel. Oh my gosh. I was just like, you were so powerful.
It's
just like, and made me want a bagel, to be honest. Ever since I actually saw that movie, I've been eating everything bagels ever since. I used to be like a sesame seed.
Girl. I'm a sesame. I'm one. Should I try an everything bagel?
Should you? Yes, of course. Did you learn
live
nothing?
On the pot?
Did you learn nothing from this film? Get it in. Get it in.
Right. I guess we're live on air. There will be an Instagram reel of me trying a everything
delicious.
Bagel for the first time.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. That's also a good metaphor.
Guess that's really cool that even in like a little way it inspired you to like, you know, try
change my life.
Trying something new. Exactly. The little decisions that change your life.
Oh my God. It makes me existential, but in such a nice way. I loved it. And just seeing, like, it's such a amazing, like, not like a metaphor for, like, you know, struggling with life. And obviously she lost all hope and she just wanted to destroy everything, which is something we've all felt, you know. It's just relatable. And just seeing all these ridiculous scenarios playing out. It was really quite cathartic, I think, in a way that I haven't watched any other piece of media that has, you know, made me feel like that. This is the only film that can explore such heavy and complicated topics through people that have hot dogs for fingers. and there's just that one scene where they're both rocks. Mm. And they're just talking about like the meaning of life, and wow, even just thinking about it, I get chills. I don't want to spoil it if anyone hasn't seen it yet.
Oh no, this is a spoiler away. We're called Lit Crit Chick here. This is literary criticism.
All right.
You do your homework before you come to the show. No.
If you haven't seen this movie, what the heck is wrong with you? Honestly, homophobic.
I encourage all my viewers to watch things ahead or, you know, listen ahead.
Very good. Great.
But also, that being said, I think that this podcast, you know, spoil away, because it's also, I you know, I think getting spoiled sometimes is a great way of like being like, okay, I need to watch this thing now because it sounds really great.
Yeah, so true.
I think this is for the people who want things to be spoiled for them. We're getting into it.
All right, I'll spoil everything. I can't wait. It is like an incredible multiverse film where you have to do, like, you're jumping through different timelines and you have to do, you have to do weird things to open up the portals. Like, I think one of the first scenes is Waymond eating chapstick, which makes me feel sick even remembering it. That was horrific.
The paper cuts.
The paper cuts.
Through the fingers. To transport. That was...
Yep, that was horrific.
Horrendous, horrific. Yep. It's... Yeah, but I love that. This is the kind of creativity of that. Yeah, it's so wild and so out there. But you're right. It grounds it of, like, the... This is sort of like the mathematical way of you've got to be so chaotic to, like, you know, get to whatever reality you want to get to. Like,
exactly. Yes. It's about doing things that are weird, right? Yeah. And I'm really into that as a certified weirdo, as they say.
Do you like sort of doing things and seeing what happens?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, well, in theory, yes, of course. I'm always like, yeah, I love doing everything. But then I have to, you know, tell the waiter my food's wrong. And I'm like, well... I'd rather die, you know?
I am set on this reality. Yeah. I do not care.
But every time I watch it, I do try and be like, okay, let's be a bit weird. Let's do some things that don't make sense. Who knows what could happen if we do?
Mm.
It's an incredible film. And obviously the cast is amazing. I mean, Michelle Yeoh, oh my God.
Yes.
She is the love of my life. No offense to my girlfriend. But, you know, Michelle Yeoh was Moomba Queen. In the 80s.
I actually did know this. I saw a little snippet or something. That is
pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. Do you have the story, the scoop?
I think she was just pretty... I think she was in the Jackie Chan movies at that time. And I guess the city of Melbourne were like, yeah, you're queen of Moomba. It makes no sense.
Why was she in... Was she in Melbourne anyway, or did she just win?
I wish I had the answers. I could have looked it up, but I like the air of mystery.
Well,
I don't know. And I think... What a huge honour for her.
I think so. Also, we're not interviewing Michelle Yeoh right now. I'm sure Michelle would be able to answer that question.
Exactly. Only she knows that.
And that's, you know, maybe that's something that she wants to keep private.
Well, get her on. She has to tell... She probably doesn't get asked about Moomba often in interviews, so...
You're right. I should contact her and say, I've DM got her. An interview about the Moomba Festival that you really should get into. I need to know the scoop, and I've got the stories. Come on.
The people want to know.
I would be put in her spam account. But I'd be honored to be put in her spam account, because you're right. She is, like, the anchor of this movie. She's, like... The range is insane. Absolutely no surprise that, like, she won Best Actress and everybody loved her and stanned her and memed her and all of it for it, because she really did. What's sort of one of your favorite scenes of hers that stands out?
So many. So honestly, I think, like, there's so many incredible scenes in that movie, but the scene where she and Jamie Lee Curtis have hot dogs for fingers and are just having one of the most beautiful love stories of all time with the piano. And it's just so deeply silly, but it's also, you find yourself crying because it's like, no, you are lovable. It's all going to be fine. Love is real. Love is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just in the acting, like, you're doing something so deeply silly, but to just commit so hard to it that, you know, people can be crying in the cinema even though, people have hot dogs for fingers. It's so stupid.
Fully. Do you like that in your comedy, ever sort of blurring that and going into the sincerity of it all and, like, and trying to have hot dogs for fingers while making people cry kind of vibe?
Such a good metaphor. Absolutely. Because my style of comedy is very wacky, very upbeat and absurd, but then I'm also just chucking in, you know, how about this? How about the meaning of life and love? Ever thought about that? But then I'm like pivoting in 2 seconds and talking about something ridiculous. I love taking people on that journey of, this is weird and silly, but we're also talking about the real stuff. We're also going to process some emotions. We're going to learn from each other. We're going to connect on a community level. But also, what about this weird thing? And I've got this prop. And I love that. I think there's so much power in meeting people at their level, and just, I think if people are laughing and relaxed, you can talk about things that might be a bit more, you know, taboo or intense, but people are more receptive if it comes to them, you know, packaged up as, this is weird and silly and goofy, and they don't get scared, they don't shut down, they're like, oh yeah, ha ha, oh, I learned something. That was a weird act out, but you get it.
But no, yeah. It's so true. I've been lucky and honored enough to have you for a few of my shows, some stand-up.
Yes.
And it's so true that, like, the audience is... I always put you at the start, which, sorry about that.
I love that. Now I'm into it.
But it's because you are such a good icebreaker for the audience. You are so good at, like, being able to sort of, especially with, like, all queer lineups, the audience down for, like, hey, this is some queer shit. Like, we're going to be talking about some, you know, lesbicious behavior, maybe some transitional things, you know, all of that,
yeah.
All of that cool stuff, you know, in throughout all of that. And then, like, but in such a fun and energetic way. And, like, the audience just, like, totally responds to that energy.
Yeah,
and it is, it's so cool. It's so cool watching you handle the chaos.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I enjoy it a lot, and I think there's a lot of power in that. I see some comedians that are, you know, doing similar things, and it's amazing that they're so upbeat and everyone's laughing, but meanwhile they're talking about, you know, some really deep topics that if you brought up in a normal conversation, everyone would be like, I don't know what to say, that's so intense and weird. But there's something about just saying it in that context that gives you, I don't know, people give you their time, and they're more open-minded, I think, in that scenario. Mm. Like, you talk about, oh my god, the world's really messed up, here's how I feel as a queer person currently, it's not great, and everyone's laughing about that, but then it's also like, thank god we can talk about this finally.
And I think that's also your approach to it, because you're right, I think a lot of people do that, but I love that your approach is like, I'm just going to put it out there. Like, it's just like, there's no sort of coyness or sort of shyness behind it, which you can use for comedy. And I think there are plenty of people who would do that incredibly. But, like, I do love that there's this sort of, and it reminds me of, like, the hot dog figures or some of the comedy in it, where it's like, it's a bit in your face, but in a way that is actually really relaxing.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, okay, we're going this silly. Like, nothing's serious because we're going this silly, but then we can get serious because we've been there.
Exactly. And it's like similar, like I really related to Wayman's character in this film. It's just like, he's just, oh, he's so pure.
I see some Wayman in you too, actually.
That's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. I'm gonna cry.
I'm not in a relationship with you, nor have I ever been, but I could see you being like a Wayman in a relationship. Oh my
God. I hope so. He's just like, I've been thinking about this film a lot lately. Obviously the world is crumbling and it feels really scary. And there's a few just incredible quotes, especially from his character. Just, there's one where he's like, we have to be kind. We have to be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. And it's like, he's so wacky and silly. And I think there's, I can't remember the exact quote, but he's just putting googly eyes on everything and being so joyful and happy. And he's like, this is how I fight. You know, this is how I, you know, make sense of the world. This is how I fight back. And it's just through being joyful and goofy and kind. And is there nothing more beautiful than that? Oh my goodness.
It's almost childlike, but it also then, it comes from like an acceptance of like, well, I kind of have to be a bit childlike, because if we take it so seriously, it's just too stressful. Like, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah.
It's beautiful. And I try to think back to that, because I would like to be a Wayman in people's life. I would love that. But it takes a lot of work to get there. It is hard because things are weird.
And we talk about, you know, queer rage a lot, and I think, and like the validity of that. And I think there is also absolutely a validity in sometimes being pissed off at the world.
Absolutely. And as you should be, and we need you to be,
Which is also why I think Jobu Tupaki is so good, because there is some of that like resentment and pissed offness at the world. But then it also plays with that like, but it doesn't, but nothing matters.
Nothing really matters, hey? We're all just on a little tiny blobs of cells on a planet in space. It's really weird when you think about it. But I think we need a good combo of Wayman and like the supervillain queerness of Joy.
I completely agree. Because, it's like, there are some times that I need to put some googly eyes on things and like smile about it rather than, because sometimes, you know, nothing, it doesn't matter that you can't fix something, or you know, I'm talking about when I get misgendered and getting my hormones after I've got the correct name in the system.
Annoying.
But I put googly eyes on that estrogen and I keep on walking.
I know, that's right. But also, if you want to go back and, you know, blow everyone up and turn them into confetti, that's also fine. Yeah. And valid, actually.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jamie Lee Curtis is great. Jamie Lee Curtis, thoughts on her?
I love. Look, I love Jamie Lee Curtis a lot. Great actor. Do I think she deserved the supporting actress Oscar? No.
Okay, thank you. Well, no, we're being vulnerable and real right now.
We're being vulnerable and real? No. She was great, but...
And who would you have chosen then?
Well, obviously, I've forgotten her name. Oh, my God. Stephanie Hsu. Stephanie Hsu. Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I
know. Like, what?
She gave everything to that performance.
Everything, everywhere, all at once in that film.
It was incredible.
I'm not saying that Jamie Lee Curtis didn't deserve the nomination, but when you look at her character versus the character of Joy, it shouldn't have even been a question. I'm so sorry.
No.
Like, she did a good job, but she wasn't, you know, was just an IRA agent. She was just a tax girly.
Yeah, she did great.
Super villain, but, you know, but Joy, the amount of different, you know, characters and emotional depth that she had to do was incredible, and she was robbed. I'm sorry if you're listening, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wow, here we are, live on the scene. Maddie Weeks says,
"Yeah, I'm sorry."
This Oscar that did come out like 3 years ago,
I'm still mad about it. Like, I was
robbed.
It makes no. I mean, obviously, I don't know how the Oscars work, but if you watch that film, mostly money. Well, yeah. It's like, and sure, Jamie Lee Curtis has been around for ages. It was lovely for her to finally, you know, get an Oscar and get that recognition.
There was a storyline there, for sure.
But
Stephanie Hsu ate that.
Stephanie Hsu was
completely agree. And on that, I think we're going to take a little break because we haven't taken any.
Let's take a break.
But I mean, loving yapping.
Yeah.
So we're back with Maddie and where we were just talking about how this movie is a little bit hard to talk about, but I think we've done very well of sort of hitting a few different aspects of you know, how we felt and how we thought about it, how it's impacted your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get a little bit more fun, a little bit more fresh, and a little bit less thinky, and let's play a game.
Great, let's do it.
Okay, fuck, marry, kill. Michelle Yeoh.
Oh.
Okay, but we've got the three different versions. We've got the martial arts superstar version.
Mm-hmm.
We've got laundromat, just regular main girl version. And then we have hot dog fingers version.
Ooh.
We can make it kiss, marry, kill because I think I might get demonetized.
So kiss, marry, kill. This is hard because they're all so attractive in their own different ways. Personally, though, I will have to kill the hot dog fingers. That is against God. That is. I'm so sorry. I do not want them anywhere near my face.
Okay, so who...
I'm vegetarian.
That's so fair.
Yeah. Wait, I just forgot. No, what are the options?
The martial artist superstar.
Yep.
The regular laundry.
Laundry, lady. Yep, and?
Hot dog fingers.
Okay.
Who you've just said you're going to kill.
That's already gone. Okay.
I just thought that'd be kind of amusing to have around.
No, just imagine you're going out to brunch and you're like, sorry about the hot dog fingers. Like, people are going to call the cops or the FBI. You know what I mean? And also, like, but in that reality, would I also have hot dog fingers? Because then maybe that's beautiful.
No, you don't get hot dog
fingers. So just, look, I'm so sorry. But as a vegetarian who really struggles to be vegetarian when I smell meat, because I'm yum, that smells good, I want to eat it. Having hot dogs around all the time,
but it could be kind of like useful in I don't know, really a lot of rings.
True.
You could buy her a lot of rings.
That's true.
And she'd like them.
Oh, we would go viral on TikTok, hey? Just being like, absolutely, here I am with my girlfriend. She's got hot dog fingers.
Also, like,
day in my life.
Regularly watching someone pick their nose is disgusting, but watching someone pick their nose with hot dog fingers.
That's actually pretty funny.
It's actually kind of hilarious.
Okay, well, now I want to change my answer. Is that allowed? Is that against the law
game? You can do whatever you want.
Okay, well, I'm going to marry the hot dog fingers.
You're going to marry hot dog fingers.
Yeah,
okay.
Just because the imagery of being at the wedding and being like putting the ring on the hot dog
finger. Oh, I would want it to be like a Pringles can ring.
Yes. Like that length. Oh, that's of beautiful. Onto the hot dog finger. That's so nice. Right? And then she's trying to put the ring with her massive hot dog fingers on my little yes. human finger. Okay. Lock that in. I'll marry the hot dog fingers.
Marry hot dog.
Now,
Superstar martial artist. What would you
kill? Just to prove I can. Just to prove that I'm strong and so brave. Okay. You think you're brave. You think you could do martial arts. Well, guess what? I lift 5 kilos.
The man in you is like mm-hmm. jumping yeah, out right exactly. now.
I'm so strong.
I could fight the bear.
Yeah,
I don't care.
No worries, man. Yeah, let's go. I'll fight the man and the bear, actually. I don't need either of them.
So you would kill her just for the satisfaction of like...
I did it.
You did it. Wow. Yeah.
And people would be like, that's awesome. That's how did you do that? Fucked. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm really strong, I guess. Sorry. I just want to prove myself.
I nothing feel to unsafe read into there. Currently.
don't worry about it. Don't
and we'll move on. So you'll.
I guess who am I?
Kissing the laundromat.
Yeah, one. I love that. That's fair. She needs it. She's yeah. stressed, happily yeah. there to provide a little smooch. And I'm actually very passionate about laundry in my day to day life. Really? I love doing laundry.
Okay, well. Come, now tell me about that. How have we gotten to 40 minutes into this without talking about your passion for laundry?
I don't know what it is. And it's related. I think it's because I live in an apartment and I really rely on good drying weather. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when it's like a 40 degree day, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, now is my time to wash every single thing in this house. And I am really passionate about it mm-hmm. and I love it. Like there's no greater feeling of putting on the laundry. You put it outside in about 10 minutes, it's dry. Are you serious? So the power you have with that mm-hmm. and I just it love gives getting
the same as like when you get like are going home from the beach and like your yes. like swimming costume dries by the time like you get to the car or whatever.
God. I've never been able to do that. I'm too impatient. Like I went to the beach last week and I was like, I should sit in the sun, enjoy it, just let it dry. But the thing is, I love going to the beach, but the ADHD brain, I get in the ocean. I'm like, now what? I'm so bored. What am I meant to do?
I get drown.
Drown. Oh, that would be exciting.
That's always my next thing. Just drown. I've recently, my boyfriend's in the studio and he'll attest to this. I've recently developed a fear of water because, and I think it's an ADHD thing, I got bored in the water. Well, actually, no, we went scuba diving and that's a whole other story. But I think it developed from me getting kind of bored in the water one day and realizing like, if I stopped swimming, I would just drown.
Holy crap, that's terrifying.
Anyway, don't want to give this fear to people. But now, whoa. And whenever I'm in a large body of water, I'm like, if I just stop kicking,
you die.
That's it, girl. Off we go.
You can float, though. You can just lay back. It's a thing. But I get the fear. I've been scuba diving as well, and I had that thought when I was down there. I was like, if I take this thing out of my mouth, I'm going to drown.
Right.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
At least there's lots of stuff to look at when you're scuba diving.
Oh, no, there wasn't. We were out in the ocean and
there was
they told us that there were dolphins and if we were calm that the dolphins might swim under us. I couldn't see the bottom and there were no dolphins.
That's horrific.
So it was just greeny blue and no dolphins. Genuinely probably the most terrifying experience in my life.
Oh, I would hate that.
They also were yelling at me from the boat. They were like, you've got to go down. And I was like, I will not.
Oh my God, that's horrendous.
But we're okay now. Why? Because nothing matters.
Exactly.
Because everything's on a bagel. And that's I put that onto the bagel. And now it's a funny little anecdote that I can tell people.
That's fun.
Wonderful.
Oh, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? Oh my gosh, I'm so sad you did not see dolphins.
I didn't. Did you see anything cool while you were scuba diving?
Yeah, I was in Bali. Okay.
Oh,
I know. Such a.
You've been killing it.
No, I hadn't ever been, and it was a family vacation with my partner's family, which was really fun.
Oh, that's nice.
But I'd never been. Yeah, that's quite nice actually to go to Bali.
Bali, it's unusual. Yeah, yeah, it's
go down Bali and have fun. It was pretty, very Australian. Wow, there's a lot of Aussies there. Dear God. But we went.
I've actually never been.
We actually got stranded. It was nice. Yeah, I actually loved it. The food's amazing. The people are lovely. Like, it's so picturesque. And the nature there, wow, it was amazing. And there was, like, some extreme weather event or something. We ended up getting trapped in this very small town. But it just so happened there was, it's fine.
Nice small town.
There was not many people there. It was, five shops. It was awesome. But there was a scuba diving school. So we were like, well, let's just do that. Why not? And I have asthma, but I decided not to tell anyone about that. which is kind of a problem. But it was fine. But I was down there, like, I feel like my lungs are not coping.
Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. The nitrous or whatever.
Whatever. I was fine. But I had that moment of,
I'm
there
a lot of people scuba diving
heaps.
In the small town?
Heaps.
Oh, okay, cool.
People go there
so
to
there
learn.
So there were people with
it's
you
like,
and stuff.
Yeah, a good place to learn. Oh, and there was, like, a shipwreck that we were, like,
that's so
going
cool.
Going over, and oh so God. Many fish. Nemo was there. I was like starstruck. Okay.
Hi.
I've seen your movie.
Can I get an autograph?
Yeah. Are you lost?
Aww.
It was fun, and there was lots of awesome fish and a turtle, and I saw a pufferfish, and it was beautiful, but it was not that deep, thank God. I was like on the ocean floor, which is good. But then like looking to my right and just seeing blue, endless blue was... Oh, you really do feel like a very small little critter. You're like, oh, the ocean is vast.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. I felt it gave me that, like, it is 70% water.
Yeah, truly.
Like that we think that, oh, this is normal. This is like land is natural and what we're used to. But mama, like, Earth isn't working like that. She is not playing on that schedule, and she is not playing those games. Like, she is going, no, I'm water. And like, I want to remind you that I am in fact a body of water, and you should be scared of me.
And you're just a little floaty. You're just floating
and you,
around.
Like, being on land, that's the minority. And when I was in that deep ocean, I got reminded of that the privilege of being in the minority on land and not being down at the bottom. Wow,
there's a lot. That's actually very beautiful and did make me existential. And I am freaking out, but in a good way. It's fine.
Well,
they haven't even explored most of the ocean, right? They don't know what the hell's
nor
going
should
on.
They.
It's none of our business.
Keep that
none
damn
of
to yourself.
Our business. Exactly. Don't even think about going down there. There's nothing good to be found.
I think if James Cameron wants to, you know, pirate's life for him, that's great. He can do it. But not me, Jimmy Cam.
No.
I'll be staying up here.
Yep.
Next time you need an avatar girl, I'll do that, but I'm not getting in that. What did Kate Winslet do or something? Somebody did, like, almost drowned and did, like, 8 minutes in the water by themselves.
Oh, my gosh. That's so... Yes, I know that story, but I can't remember the specifics.
Yeah, I think, like, Kate Winslet, like, the Titanic, broke the record for holding your breath...
That's too much.
...while making a movie.
Rent was due. Oh. Absolutely. Oh, my God.
But... back to the movie that we're actually talking about.
Sorry, back on topic.
Everything, all at once. Well, I think this has kind of been a cute little, like, wrapping up point.
Yeah, nice.
Kind of moving on and kind of moving away from it, which I think is completely fine because we are coming to the end of our episode and it's nice to talk about other things.
I loved it.
Thank you for playing our Kiss, Marry, Kill.
Oh, no, thank you. It really, I learned something about myself during that, I think.
I think I learned something about you too.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think the audience learned something as well.
Oh, dear.
No.
Yes.
So, yeah, I forgot to do this at the start, but have you got anything to promo? Have you got anything going on that you want to talk about?
Oh, my gosh. We're always doing shows around Australia. I'm obviously a stand-up comedian. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm laughing already.
Did I not give you a proper intro?
I know you did, but I just wanted to say it.
Maybe. Just give me two.
I can't remember.
Maddie Weeks is an incredible stand-up comedian who has performed in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival alongside many other talented performers. Maddie Weeks is also a... I'm doing so well. Whatever, I'll cut that in.
Just add it in. Yeah. Amazing showstopper. Yeah, yeah. So just follow me on the socials at Maddie Weeks, pretty much on all platforms. Hopefully I'll have a website at some point. So look out for that. But
that's so exciting.
It is exciting, but I've been trying to do it for like 3 years.
Are you using Squarespace?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm nothing yet. It's just a dream. Squarespace would be good.
If they're one of our sponsors, that would be great.
Yes, I love using Squarespace. Sponsors of the show. I love website. Easy. Good.
Yeah.
Just take what you need from this. You can cut it.
Thank you.
Company is great too. I sponsor everything and everything all at once. I miss that. Please give me money if you see me on the street.
No, we cannot say that. This is a community radio channel.
Oh, do not give me money. I'll give you money.
No, oh, no, I cannot. This is not for profit.
Well, oh, bugger.
No, I can get money. I just...
Yeah.
I can't advertise.
Okay, no money.
Solicit.
Oh.
Which I'm used to and pretty good at, so it's hard.
Okay, cut that in.
Anyway.
Hello, everyone.
Follow me on Instagram. I'm going to leave this all in. This chaos is incredible.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Where I highly recommend everybody to go see a show with Maddie Weeks, hosted by Maddie Weeks. Maddie, you are incredible. You are a light. You always bring so much fun and energy. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. What are you doing? I don't know. I just want to... I'm in St. Kilda at the moment, which is a bit rare for me. I just crossed the Yarra.
I know. It's so rare being in the beautiful Pride Centre.
I love it here. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I might just go spend all my money at the op shops. Who knows what I'll do? I'm excited. Maybe I'll go find the penguins at the beach.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. My family. I love them. Oh. They're beautiful. Little fairy penguins. Little penguins. Sorry.
Did you say my family?
Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
Your brethren.
The my fairy brethren. Penguins. The fairy penguins.
They are so cute. And you are an absolute joy and a delight. Thank you so Thank much you for so coming much in and chatting about this movie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.